Chapter 6. Let's talk about the I word. What do you mean when you tell a friend that you had sex? Like most of us, you are probably referring specifically to the act of intercourse. Have you noticed how few people ever use the I word? People seem to prefer a wide variety of other terms and words. Some of them are just plain childish. Others, of course, we can't print in this book. I remember back in high school when people used to call it going all the way. Do you remember the events surrounding the first time you had intercourse? Of course you do. That's because intercourse is such a big deal. Think about it. For most people, intercourse is the centerpiece of every intimate romantic relationship. Intercourse is how two people make babies. Intercourse is the most intimate thing that two people can do together. Is anything else we do more fun, more thrilling, more satisfying, and more potentially life-altering than sexual intercourse? Doesn't it make sense that we should all spend a little bit of time learning how to be better and wiser at doing something that comes naturally? Thrusting and the male role during intercourse. No matter what position the couple decides to use for intercourse, the man still tends to be the dominant partner. By the time he's finished this book, I hope my male reader will be able to have intercourse for as short or long a time period as he wants. Nonetheless, the length of time a man maintains an erection pretty much determines whether the couple will be having intercourse for 5 minutes or 30 minutes. The pacing of each sexual session also tends to be dependent on the man. Is he, for example, stroking fast or slow? And does he have rhythm? Many men don't spend enough time thinking about what I would call male rhythm. Instead, they establish a pattern and stay with it. However, a man can train himself to alter the rhythm with which he thrusts during intercourse. Most experienced women will tell you that a great lover is like a great DJ, in that he knows how to mix and match his rhythms. Sometimes he thrusts with a deliciously slow and sensual tempo. Other times he has the pace of a great drummer during a prolonged roll. When I'm working with a man who wants to improve his lovemaking skills, I often suggest that he begin listening to music and moving his body as he would when he is thrusting during intercourse. I used to play the piano, and one of the ways that helped me get more control as a musician was to try to play the same piece at different speeds. When I practiced a slow piece, sometimes I would do it very fast. In this way, when I slowed it down to the right tempo, I would have more control. When I practiced a fast piece at a slow tempo, it would also give me more control. I used to think about my early piano lessons when I talked to men about exactly how to thrust. If you want your partner to say, "Wow, he's got rhythm," here is my best advice. Practice thrusting with different pieces of music. Go with the rhythm and practice, practice, practice. Practice your thrusting with hip-hop, country, and oldies but goodies. Don't forget folk or any other kind of music. All music has rhythm. That's why it's music. As far as intercourse is concerned, you want to be able to move to the music, even when it's not playing. Roomba, anyone? Tom and Suzanne are new lovers. They like each other a lot, and Tom is thinking that Suzanne could be the one. However, he has always had a major concern about marriage. He worries about the sex becoming boring. He doesn't ever want his sex life to become routine. With that in mind, he wants the two of them to have sex in every conceivable position in every room in the house. He wants to experiment and try new things. He has never, for example, had sex on a kitchen table. He's seen it done in movies and thinks it's something he should experience at least once. Tom lives in a studio apartment with a galley kitchen, but Suzanne has a sturdy-looking table in her dining area, and he would love to try having sex on it. He'd also like to try stuff that is just a little more adventurous. Tom's friend Peter is having a party next week, and he wonders if Suzanne would be willing to have sex in Peter's bathroom while the party is in full swing. Just thinking about it makes Tom excited. There are so many different ways to have sex. So many ways, so little time, as a friend of mine is fond of saying. Intercourse involves two people moving together and trying to find each other's rhythm. Think of it like dancing. When people decide to go out dancing together, they have choices. They could do the tango, foxtrot, polka, or Texas two-step. With sex, we also have the choice of several different positions, each with its own pros and cons. I think before we start talking about various positions, we have to understand that there are no rules that say one position is better than any other. There are also no rules telling you that you can't keep using the same old position every time you have sex. If it's working for both partners, why not, if that's what you want to do? Nonetheless, I think it's smart to think about and be aware of some of the different intercourse positions and variations. If nothing else, it will help you understand why you prefer the positions you do. Sometimes we cling to certain positions for reasons that have nothing to do with pleasure. Women particularly may avoid some sexual positions because they worry that they don't look like movie or television stars. Sometimes they may need coaxing to help them get past old inhibitions. A man who is able to show his partner that he accepts and likes her body can usually convince her to become more experimental. I think most women are usually happy when a man encourages them to let go of some of their insecurities. This is about being a sensitive lover, and it doesn't always happen overnight. Here are some of the most common sexual positions and their pros and cons. Male superior position. In the basic missionary position, the woman lies flat on her back while the man lies on top of her. There are, of course, several variations. The man can support himself on his elbows and knees or on his palms and feet. There is also a variation known as the cat or coital alignment technique. In this position, the man pulls himself up and forward toward the woman's shoulders so that his pubic bone is rubbing against her clitoris, and his penis is going into her more vertically than horizontally. This position can be varied a good deal depending on the positioning of the legs. A woman can leave her legs flat, bend her knees, raise her legs into the air, or wrap them around her partner's body. Pros. For a man, this is usually one of the most arousing positions. It contributes to a feeling of bonding and intimacy because the couple can easily make eye contact, talk, and kiss. This is the most culturally sanctioned position. Many people find it a turn-on when the man is the more dominant and aggressive partner. Cons. It is one of the least effective positions for clitoral stimulation. Some men find it harder to delay ejaculation in this position. Some men say that supporting their weight in this position can be tiring. This position doesn't give the depth of penetration of some of the others. Female superior position. This is the classic woman on top position. The man lies flat on his back while his partner is on top, facing him. Her legs can be placed in several ways. One woman might enjoy lying on top in such a way that there is total body contact, her legs resting on his. Another woman might prefer to squat over the man's body with her knees resting on either side of his body. In this way, she can raise her body so that she is almost sitting up if she desires. Sometimes a woman will alternate the way her body is placed while they are having intercourse in order to change the angle or depth of penetration. After finding a position she chooses, the woman, or man, inserts the penis into her vagina and begins to move in a way that pleases both partners. Like any sexual position, this one has pros and cons. Pros. This is a terrific position for female arousal because it gives her so much control. She controls the angle at which the penis is inserted, as well as the depth of penetration. She is also more in charge of the pace and speed of intercourse, as slow or fast as she likes. It is easy to maintain eye contact and intimacy. There can be full-body contact if the partners prefer. It is easy for either partner to caress the other's body, nipples, etc. It allows for intermittent deep kissing. The woman can touch and stimulate her clitoris to bring about or increase pleasure in her orgasm. The man can also easily use his hands on her clitoris if this is what the partners prefer. This has often been considered a bad girl position. Think Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct. And for that reason, may be especially arousing. Cons. Some men are not comfortable with the woman appearing dominant or aggressive. Some women are equally uncomfortable with appearing or feeling aggressive. Some women are self-conscious about the way their faces sag down in this position, particularly if they already have a few wrinkles. Many women worry that their breasts and bodies sag, jiggle, and droop too much for this position. For women who have never fully explored the benefits of this position and have insecurities about their bodies, I suggest starting out in a room that is darkened or only dimly lit and practice becoming uninhibited. Side by side. Both partners lie facing each other, and one person puts a leg over the other's hip. There are several variations. In one of them, which I call the scissor position, the man lies on his side, while his partner remains on her back, perpendicular to him. The couple interweaves their legs so their genitals meet. Pros. This is a very relaxing position that doesn't require either person to support his or her body weight. Many people find that this is a great position first thing in the morning, when neither partner is in a mood for major acrobatics. I call this the "let's just put it in and see if anything happens" position. Many women like the eye contact and sense of intimacy that this position provides. With a couple of small body adjustments, it allows for the possibility of a man sucking and kissing a woman's breasts while having sex. The scissors variation also lets the man stimulate his partner's clitoris while he is inside her. Or, if the couple prefers, a woman can stimulate herself while the man continues stroking inside her vagina with his penis. The side-to-side position is sometimes recommended for pregnancy or for people with physical problems like arthritis. Cons. This tends to be the least genitally stimulating position for both sexes because it is so relaxing. Frequently, there is not that much depth of penetration in this position, and it is generally not stimulating to the G-spot or the cul-de-sac. Rear entry. In the basic rear entry position, the woman kneels on the bed on all fours, while the man kneels behind her. There are several variations, of course. The variation that I recommend is one in which the woman kneels at the edge of the bed with her butt in the air. In this position, she puts her arms folded down on the bed so that she can rest her head on them. This is a position that pushes emotional buttons in a lot of people. Some love it, others dislike it. Pros. This position feels primitive and animalistic, an exciting turn-on for many people. This position is the best for fast stroking and depth of penetration. It's also great if the woman likes to have her cervix stimulated. This position is also one of the best ways for the penis to make contact with the woman's G-spot. While in this position, if a woman chooses, she can shift her arms and hands so that she can easily stimulate her clitoris. Cons. The primitive and animalistic nature of this position can turn some people off. Some women, and a few men, say that this position feels too impersonal. They miss kissing and eye contact, and some complain that it provides little or no sense of intimacy or bonding. Many women feel that their butts look too wide and that their breasts hang down in an unattractive manner. The vase or butterfly position. This is a variation of the man on top missionary position. I think it's worth describing on its own because it can have amazing results in the female orgasm department. I call this the vase position because of the old joke about the good-looking woman who receives a big bouquet of roses on Valentine's Day, and her jealous co-worker says, "Well, you can be sure that if my boyfriend sent me such expensive flowers, I'd spend the next week on my back with my knees behind my shoulders." The other woman says, "Why? You don't have a vase?" The position is sometimes identified by other names. For instance, Cosmopolitan magazine calls it the butterfly position. In this position, the woman lies on her back, tilts her pelvis, and puts her legs as far back as is possible without being uncomfortable. Depending on how flexible she is, she can put her knees on her shoulders or bend them so her vagina is opened wide. If she is flexible enough to put her knees behind her shoulders, all the better. This is best because at this angle, her vagina points almost straight up. Sometimes putting a pillow under her hips helps. The man kneels between her legs so he doesn't have to support his weight with his arms and insert his penis. Pros. This position has several pluses for a woman. From this position, the vagina curves and is somewhat shortened. This position helps her uterus move off the vagina. Because of this, the man's penis is able to penetrate deeper and stimulate the G-spot, the A-spot, the cervix, and the cul-de-sac. If your partner wants a vaginal or uterine orgasm, this is the position to try. This position gives the man greater control of the depth of penetration. He can use his penis to switch back and forth between internal strokes and using his penis to caress her clitoris. It also allows the man to use his penis to tease the woman's PC muscle. Some women say that when they are very aroused, if their partner just teases the PC muscle by stroking gently with a little shallow penetration, it will trigger an orgasm. Because the woman's legs are spread, there is also great stimulation of the clitoris. This is a face-to-face position that allows plenty of eye contact. It's possible to kiss when the man leans forward. Both partners can see each other, and both partners can see the penis going in and out of the vagina. This gives the man his own personal porno movie view of his penis going in and out of her vagina. It's easy for the partners to gauge each other's level of arousal in this position. The man doesn't have to support his weight on his arms, elbow, or chest, which will help him last longer. This is also a good position for a man to practice multiple orgasm techniques. Cons. This is such a great position that I can't really think of any. How long should intercourse last? Bob, who just started dating after a divorce, says that he is still not sure how long intercourse should last, despite being married for 5 years. All he knows is that women complain if lovemaking is for too short a time, and sometimes they complain if it lasts too long. Bob is not alone in his confusion. Many people have the same question. They want to know more about the sexual behavior of the so-called average couple. How long do most people last? How long should it last? How long could it last? These questions aren't as easy to answer as it might seem because most surveys ask the question in the following form. How long does a lovemaking session last from start to finish? The answer to that is about half an hour to an hour on average. But that answer, of course, includes all aspects of a lovemaking session and does not refer specifically to intercourse. It's possible to get a historical perspective on sex by looking at some old statistics. The famous Kinsey Report, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, was published in 1948 and was considered very shocking at the time. The men Dr. Alfred Kinsey interviewed reported that they averaged 2 to 3 minutes in sexual intercourse. When I look at that statistic now, my initial reaction is one of disbelief. More recent sex surveys taken in the 1990s indicate that men last on an average of 6 to 7 minutes. That means that the time the average man spent having intercourse actually doubled or sometimes tripled in the intervening 50-plus years. That 6 or 7 minutes is still not too impressive if you consider the following. When men are surveyed about how long they would like intercourse to last, the average response is 15 to 20 minutes. Nonetheless, it's interesting to think about the reasons why men are now lasting longer than they used to. I assume it is the influence of the sexual revolution and the women's movement. Unlike the women in Kinsey's era, women today expect orgasms during intercourse, so they encourage men to last longer. Today, both men and women have higher expectations of sexual intercourse. Women want to maintain the intimate sexual connection for longer periods, and men want to be able to please and satisfy their partners. When men try to last longer during intercourse, they are basically fighting against thousands of years of evolution because all mammals have evolved to ejaculate rather quickly. If most women were to think about this, I think we would all acknowledge that we totally applaud and appreciate this effort. Men want to know how to last longer, and this is a good thing. But when it comes to telling men how to sustain their erections for longer periods of time, I realize that there is a great deal of questionable advice out there. Guys start hearing this stuff when they are in junior high, so let's discuss some of the things that do and don't help a man maintain an erection for a longer period of time. Ineffective strategies for lasting longer. Go out and buy a cream that claims to numb the penis. Well, in truth, these creams probably do numb the penis, but they also numb the vagina. No fun for either partner. Think about something other than sex. This is probably the most common advice that men are given. They are told to ignore what they are feeling and start thinking about baseball scores, math problems, and home repair projects. It's amazing that so many men have tried to follow this advice, which may work temporarily, but it's not a real solution. If you struggle to ignore and push aside all those wonderful sensations you are feeling during sex, you will A, have less enjoyment, and B, never get any sense of control. You'll always feel like you are skating on thin ice. You can only learn to control that which you accept. Have a few drinks. Liquor may slow down your responses somewhat, and for that reason, you may last a little longer, but it's not a real solution. The reason alcohol works in the short term is because it slows down all of your reflexes, including your ejaculatory reflex. If you habitually rely on alcohol to last longer, without discussing what you are doing to your health, you will need more drinks each time. Plus, if you then have sex sober, you could experience rebound premature ejaculation, which is a reflex ejaculation without an orgasm, and sometimes without even an erection. This is very scary. Use a condom. Yes, when you wear a condom, you don't feel as much. Therefore, it stands to reason that you will last longer. But the same thing applies as with alcohol. When you have intercourse without a condom, chances are you'll ejaculate even faster than you did before. Take antidepressants. It's true that using selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, like Prozac, Zoloft, and Paxil, might make you last longer before you ejaculate. In fact, drugs such as these have been shown to be effective for staying power. But you know what? I wouldn't go there. I would consider using drugs like these to prolong your erections to be overkill and a last resort. There are many potential side effects. It's also a fact that while these drugs can delay ejaculation, they can also lower your libido and interfere with orgasms. Masturbate before you go on a date to take the edge off. We all have an image of a guy about to go on the famous third date with the girl of his dreams. He's positive they are going to end up in bed, and he really wants to impress her with his staying power. So he masturbates quickly before he leaves the house. You're not going on a date with a loaded gun in your pants, are you? This solution can really backfire on you, no pun intended. When you masturbate quickly before a date, you are laying the groundwork for a massive problem with premature ejaculation. Every time you masturbate quickly, it conditions your body to ejaculate that much quicker the next time. There is another problem with this approach. Masturbating will take the edge off, and you might indeed last longer, but it will also take the edge off your passion, and it's possible that your partner will feel the difference. Good strategies for lasting longer. Some positions will help you last longer. This is true. In general, most men last longer on the side-to-side, butterfly, and female superior positions than they do in the male superior or rear entry positions. Self-awareness will help you last longer. This is one of the best pieces of advice I can give any man who wants to make his erection last longer. If you really know yourself and are conscious and aware of how you respond sexually, you will have a much better chance of figuring out what's happening. Some men, for example, don't last as long as they would during sex because they aren't having as much sex as their bodies require. These guys are always a hair trigger away from ejaculation. Try to be aware of your sexual needs and how often you have an uncontrollable urge to ejaculate. For some men, particularly young ones, this is several times a day. For others, it's once a day, twice a week, once a month, or whatever. This is not about being a statistic. It's about you and your sexuality. If you are not having intercourse at your desired level of frequency, masturbate in between. Use the peaking lessons to help you last longer, so that you will be in total control of your erection when you are having sex with a partner. Be aware of the changes your body experiences. As you get older, you will feel the need to ejaculate less frequently. Don't force yourself to ejaculate a certain number of times a week because that's what you did when you were 20. Be aware of your own body and its needs. I sometimes talk to women who are in sexual relationships with men who insist upon trying, and I do mean trying, to have sex as often as they did when they were kids. Even with the help of Viagra, this is probably going to end up being an unsatisfactory and frustrating experience. Be aware of what is happening while you are having sex with a partner. Start paying attention to everything that you are feeling during intercourse. Focus on what your penis is experiencing and how her vagina feels. Enjoy all the subtle as well as intense sensations. Be aware of the various elements of your lovemaking as it is happening. This will help you slow down and be more in the moment. Practice peaking. Listen again to the peaking exercises on pages 44 and 45. Practicing during masturbation and then doing these with a partner will show you how to let your arousal go up and down in that wave or peak-like pattern. This is the best way to learn to last longer. Once you have these exercises under control, you will never feel like you're fighting to keep from ejaculating. Squeezing your PC muscle. If you squeeze your PC muscle when you are highly aroused, it will often take your arousal down a notch. By the way, this is different than using your PC muscle to hold back your ejaculation and experience male multiple orgasm. Don't use your PC muscle to slow down unless you have a very firm erection. Otherwise, you could lose the erection. This is something else you might want to practice alone during masturbation so you get more awareness of your body and in the process gain greater control. A word of caution. Don't try to hold back an ejaculation. This is not the same as having control through awareness and peeking. If you hold back an ejaculation without having done your awareness and peeking exercises, you will probably be holding it back by unconsciously squeezing your PC muscle really hard. This is how you can get really sore testicles, which used to be known in high schools across the country as blue balls. This practice will also interfere with your learning to focus on your sensations and can sometimes contribute to overly rapid ejaculation as well as erection problems. Making sex more intimate and erotic. Intercourse is still the most intimate thing two people can do together. Sex is better when all the elements of passion and affection come together. Remember that your partner likes having sex with you because she likes you. It's a rare woman who doesn't want to be stroked, kissed, and touched during intercourse. Kissing deepens and heightens the sensual experience. Passion, when it is expressed, has the power to intensify and electrify sex. Let your partner know what you are feeling. You can do it with your eyes, your mouth, your hands, and your words. Tell her what you like about having sex with her. Tell her how she makes you feel. You don't have to talk nonstop, but a few well-chosen and sincere phrases are a big turn-on. Let her feel your excitement. Your passion encourages her to be more open with her own. Don't forget to make eye contact. It's exciting for both partners to gaze into each other's eyes and share what they are experiencing. Sex in unusual locations. One of my friends had a boyfriend. Let's call him Derek. Well, Derek lived about a block from the beach, and he had this fantasy about having sex on a starlit night, lying on a blanket on the sand. I think he said something about wanting to hear the waves crashing to the shore while he had an orgasm. His fantasy wasn't as easy to accommodate as one might think. For one thing, the waterline at high tide was too close to the road to provide enough privacy. But sure enough, one starry, starry night, my friend was visiting Derek during low tide, and he convinced her to head for the beach. They took a blanket and found a spot behind a rock. Now, everyone who has ever been to the beach knows that sand always gets on the blanket, no matter what you do. They also know that sand looks a lot softer and more inviting than it really is. My friend said that what she remembers from that night is a 200-pound guy pounding into her on a hard surface with sand getting in her crotch and no-see-ums chewing up her ankles. She hated it. Derek seemed to enjoy himself, even though he got bit on the butt. Nonetheless, the next time Derek suggested the beach, my friend said, "Forget about it." Somebody else I know said she once had sex in a cow pasture in Hawaii, and that it was okay, except for the smell and all the flies. Lots of men and women I know have had sex on the living room rug, with or without a romantic fireplace, and they had the rug burn on their butts and knees to prove it. I personally have a scar from one such session, permanently embossed, on my lower back. I haven't been too successful at having sex in exotic locales, and am suggesting that a place that seems like it would be a real turn-on doesn't always work out that way. Another friend recently told me that she was down in the Bahamas recently. She was trying to get into a dinghy tied up to a dock when she spotted a couple nearby, obviously having sex in the water. She was startled, which made her miss her footing, and she crashed into the water as well as into the couple. I guess she was less disruptive to them than a wide variety of other things could have been. One friend tried having sex in the Atlantic Ocean while vacationing in the Hamptons, and her boyfriend's bathing suit took off with the tide. This was the only article of clothing he had with him. I'm also not a big fan of sex in hot tubs, showers, or pools. Chlorine can dry out delicate vaginal tissues, and some of the spa chemicals can trigger a vaginal infection. If you're a fan of having sex outside, and I am, I think your best bet is to figure out how to create a private area outside your house. Perhaps a screened-in patio or deck that you can outfit with futons or comfy lounge chairs. None of those cross-ribbed plastic numbers. The success of sex in exotic locations is at least somewhat dependent on who you are and who you are with. It helps if you are both young and agile and without major allergies to grass, mosquitoes, pollen, etc. Cuddling and pillow talk after sex. You don't really need to have me tell you that women love to cuddle after sex, now do you? Cuddling is good. Cuddling is cozy. Cuddling is one of the best ways to bond and deepen your connection with each other. Women also like it when you tell them that you liked having sex with them. You can say something simple like, "That was terrific." However, you cannot say that as you turn your total attention to the TV remote or your dog. If you want to mumble only a few words along these lines, mumble them into her ear while you are nuzzling her neck. Keep your voice throaty and intimate as opposed to casual. Don't make it sound like you both just enjoyed a game of pickup ball together and are now wandering off into your everyday world where you barely know each other. If you want to get more specific about what you liked, all the better. Women hate it when their partners immediately detach after sex and act as though they barely know the woman with whom they just shared such intimacy. That's one of the reasons why they like to cuddle after sex. Napping is okay, but don't roll over to do it. Keep her snuggled in your arms for at least a while. Before you disentangle your bodies to roll over and go to sleep or get out of bed, a sweet and affectionate hug is always a good thing. As you are getting out of bed or falling asleep, consider giving her a loving kiss. It doesn't have to be on the lips. You can kiss her anywhere. Some favorite spots include the neck, the hand, and the tummy. If you feel this way, this is always a good time to say, "I love you," or even, "I loved watching you have an orgasm," or anything else that acknowledges the connection.